Thank you, Wendy.
Sorry. Morning, everyone. Well, we're in these days of Easter still, the 50 days between Easter Day and Pentecost. And now we get towards the end of that season of Easter. We start to see a bit of a shift from the joy, the excitement, the horror of the resurrection through to Jesus leaving his disciples, which we celebrate on Thursday with Ascension Day. And then 10 days later, we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. We then move within the Church of England into Trinity, and then what I hate, but it's called ordinary time until about November. We spent the months since Advent exploring the story of God through Scripture. And now our minds start to turn towards the story of the people of God, which we spend about the next 6 months looking at. It's how the church calendar is devised. We'll be looking at the story of the people of God. The story of the people of God relies on the Holy Spirit. Today, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. 2 weeks today at Pentecost, 50 days after Easter, we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit when it's poured out on the disciples and to all people. These few verses in John's Gospel start to build up that anticipation for Pentecost and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. As Jesus spoke these words, the disciples will not have understood, or likely, so should I say, not to do them too much discredit, will likely not have understood what Jesus was getting at. It comes as part of the farewell discourse in John's Gospel, where Jesus is preparing his disciples for when he will leave them. In many ways, this also continues our journey this year of the theme of being children of God, to see the Father we need to know Jesus. That has come up so much for me over this year so far. The various things we've been doing in church, it all seems to have linked in and back to this theme of being children of God. If you remember back in January, I shared that I felt there was an identity crisis in the church, that we'd lost what it means to be children of God. We started exploring that. We looked at the Father heart of God. That's continued through into the Letton Hall teaching, which was about being a child of God. And the talk here on Sunday by Linda that was about being, are you childish or childlike in your faith? And again, looking at being a child of God. The first Alpha session we had on Tuesday explored seeing Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. And we spent some time yesterday at men's breakfast exploring the question, who is God? All of it seems to be segueing into one thing, that we are children of God, and that we are about to look at the story of the people of God with the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in each of us. I came to prepare this talk, and I really started thinking when I looked at the reading, I was like, okay, Lord, you're really telling us something now. It's one of those times when it feels like more than a little whisper in your ear, but it feels like God is almost shouting at us, saying, you must take note of this, church. You are my children. I have sent you, and I will send you the Holy Spirit. You are my children. If you know Jesus, you will know me. It's one of those passages in John's Gospel we see very clearly that the Holy Spirit will come, will guide us. And it's clear from what Jesus says to his disciples that the Holy Spirit means we are not going to be orphans any longer. And that we will continue to see Jesus through the Spirit living in us. To me, in some ways, these few verses, that passage that Louisa read for us today, is almost like the blurb on the back of a book or on the back of a DVD film case to say, you know, to give you that synopsis and say, read this book, watch this film, it's going to be great. It feels a bit like that, does this reading. When the Holy Spirit comes, it's going to be awesome. And of course, we know what happens at Pentecost, which we'll look at in 2 weeks. When the Spirit falls, the tongues of fire descend on the disciples. 3,000 people come to know the Lord on that one day, all at 9 o'clock in the morning. I wonder what happened in the rest of that day. How many more people came to know Jesus? There are two things that I really want to pull out of the reading this morning. Firstly, the promise of the Holy Spirit, and that we know the Holy Spirit. And secondly, we are no longer orphans. I'm not being Anglican today, I'm doing 2 points instead of 3. I wonder if there's times, though, when we feel that life would be easier if Jesus was still walking this earth and walking with us. Perhaps we think it'd be easy to just have a conversation over coffee. Well, Jesus, why is this happening? Well, Jesus, why has this not happened in my life? Or, you know, why are there all the, you know, the questions at Alpha? It'd be great, wouldn't it, if Jesus was sat at the table as we looked at those questions in Alpha and he gave us all the answers. Sometimes we might think, is it not just easier if he was doing that, if he was encouraging us? Well done, that was good today. Or, yeah, you need to work a bit harder next time, Tim, on your sermon. It was a bit rubbish today. If we were there walking with him through this earth and we witnessed the miracles that he performed, the miracles that we read of in Scripture, if we were to see those daily as we walked around with Jesus, or probably in this day and age, drive around or fly around, if he was here, he would tell us exactly what we need to do. None of this, well, I think God's saying this, but is he saying that? Let's test it. But, that all sounds wonderful, but if we look at the gospel stories, I'm not sure it would be as wonderful as that. Because actually, when we look at those who were closest to Jesus, we know that eventually they betray him, deny him, and run away. They didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. Most people couldn't understand his teaching when he delivered it. Hopefully you find my teaching understandable. It's not mine, it's the Lord's, but you know what I'm saying. They found him intriguing. Some thought he was mad. However, in 2023, with the benefit of hindsight, we look back and we can see that Jesus is very much still with us. He's promised that it will be easier and not harder, and his people will be able to do things they couldn't do when he was physically present. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit, his own breath, his own inner life. In verse 16, the NIV translates the word counselor. It uses counselor as the word. If you'll forgive me, the Greek word is paraclete or parakletos. And that word paraclete can be translated in so many different ways. It can mean so many different things. Tom Wright translates it as helper. Other translations, comforter. Another one, advocate. It goes on. But all of those words that can be translated from paraclete describe the Holy Spirit. They describe who he is and what he does. And they talk of people who will guide us, support us, and sustain us. The Holy Spirit is not simply a comforter, helper, counselor, or one of the many other ways. As we see throughout the rest of Scripture, and indeed to now, we know that the Holy Spirit comes to give God's people the strength and the energy to do what we need to do. To live for God and witness to his love in the world. It's the Holy Spirit that allows us to do that. We know that we're told it's the Holy Spirit dwelling in us that enables us to declare Jesus is Lord. We know it's the Holy Spirit that ministers to us. Perhaps on our own, when we're reading Scripture, he helps us unpack and understand the Word of God. Sometimes in gatherings, the Holy Spirit will come and we'll see healings, we'll see miracles. And it's amazing when that happens and we see him ministering to people very deeply. That's who the Holy Spirit is. So much more than these few words. In many ways, indescribable. Do we witness to God's love in the world, or do we walk by on the other side of the road? Because we're called to live for God. We're called to show his love. I wonder how often do we go about our daily lives and our daily business actively looking to see where God is at work. You're going to the shop tomorrow, going to the supermarket or into town, are you going to do it actively looking to see where God is at work? Or is it going to be the usual, oh, I've got to go to the supermarket, oh, I've got to do my shopping. And you go around with that sort of heaviness. Or are we going to go out and look around and think, where is God at work today? More often than not, I think we do get caught up in our own little world. I'm certainly very guilty of that. I probably very rarely walk around thinking, well, where is God at work today? Yes, I try and do it on a Sunday, but during the week, I think, oh, I've got this meeting and that meeting. perhaps, you know, is God going to turn up? Well, we're going to pray at the start, we'll pray at the end. Was God there? Of course he's there. And of course he's actually doing stuff. At the moment, I'm listening to a book on Audible called The Ruthless Elimination of Harry. It's by John Mark Comer, who's an American pastor of a megachurch who burnt out at about 36 because he was, you guessed it, too busy. It's been a very challenging book, and he explores the fact that busyness is one of the things that we feel we need to be, because that's what the world tells us we need to do. We need to fill our lives with everything that we can do. When we ask each other how we are, the most common answer, I'm fine, just busy. It's okay, I'm just quite busy at the moment. I'm guilty of that. I was at the sixth form on Friday for a minute, we had a governor conference, and as people were introduced that weren't Christians, they're leaders in their own field, there was CEOs that were introduced, the principal said, thank you for making the time for us. I know how busy you are. That's what defined them. That they were busy people. We're all busy. We know that. It shouldn't have to define who we are. In the modern world, it is what defines us. But actually, those of us who know God should be defined as a child of God and not how busy we are. In the Bible, we don't see people who are busy. We see people who spend time with God. We see people who pray and listen to him. We see people do mighty things for him. I don't think they'll be as busy as we are. And I think in some ways that's where the enemy has crept in to stop us being effective children of God. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, witnessing to what God is doing in our world at the moment. The book has been a wake-up call to me. It's caused me to think through developing a rule of life or I can slow down and not hurry. Because I believe that's what the Lord wants me to do. Some of the statistics he quotes in that book are absolutely mind-boggling about how much time we spend on our phone, how much time the average person spends on their phone, I should say, how much time the average person spends watching TV. It's something silly like if we took 10% of our time off the amount of hours we spend watching TV, we could read 200 books in a year. It's that ridiculous. And there is so much entertainment out there that we fill all of our spare time with entertainment. I think the Lord is asking us to slow down a little bit, to spend more time with him. Before the summer holidays, I think we're going to spend a few weeks exploring what it means to have a rule of life. And I will be hopefully recommending that book as our summer read for this year, because I think it's very important that we spend time listening to God and what he's saying through it. If we want to witness to the love of God in the world, we need to find time and space to slow down and spend with God. It's one of the reasons I love coming to the encounter. It's an hour where I can spend time deliberately with God. I'll be honest, sometimes at 6:30, I think we shouldn't have to go out tonight. But sure enough, every time I have come, the Lord has spoken, in often more powerfully than other ways. Why? Because I have deliberately set that whole hour aside for him. How often, as Wendy alluded to earlier, how often do we do that at home? How often do we take the time to really stop and concentrate on God without looking at a phone? Without somebody coming running in and saying, you know, do you want a cup of coffee? Without the knock on the door? Without the child running in going, Daddy? How often do we deliberately spend that time with God? The Holy Spirit as comforter is there to help us give the strength that we need to do the task that is being asked of us. I couldn't stand up here and speak to you without the power of the Holy Spirit living in me. I couldn't put this collar on without the power of the Holy Spirit living in me. I couldn't go about my daily life and ministry without the power of the Holy Spirit living in me. I can't explain why or how, but it's something I know. That as a child of God, I need the Holy Spirit to be able to do ministry and to be able to do life. Do we know that deep in our souls? That to do this thing called life, to go on this journey of discipleship, to be able to proclaim the good news of God to those around us, to feel him in our hearts, that we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Do we know that? The Holy Spirit in this passage can also be translated advocate. The Holy Spirit pleads on our behalf and intercedes for us when we can't. Paul says much the same in Romans 8, 26 to 27. The advocate will plead for us. The Holy Spirit will give us the words to say. The Holy Spirit will guide us and enable us to do what we need to do. Those last three verses that we read today give us a wonderful circle of promises about that. Jesus is with us through the Spirit. We will see him. We will live his new life. And we will know the deepest theology of all, that he and the Father are in each other, and that we are in him, and that he is in us. We are joined to Jesus and the Father by an unbreakable bond of love. The Holy Spirit dwells within each of us. That's how we can proclaim Jesus is Lord. We are in the Father because we are in Jesus. We know Jesus, we know the Father. Which brings me to my second point, that we are no longer orphans. That circle of promises circles all the way around and brings us back to where it began, that we will see Jesus, that he will show himself to us, that we will see the Father and the Son, and we are invited to join them. No longer orphans in the spiritual sense is one of the best things that can happen to us. Personally, I struggle to understand how people can go through life without knowing the Lord Jesus, without knowing that strength of the Holy Spirit in them to do the things that we're called to do. I can't imagine life without him. Even back when I was struggling with faith after Hannah was born, deep down within my soul, if I'm really, really honest with myself, I knew that he was still there. I knew that the Holy Spirit was still there. I've not experienced for a long time what it means to be separated from God, and I hope and pray I never will. And I hope and pray that for each of you, that you don't know what it's like to be separated from the love of God. If we want to know what it's like, we look to Jesus on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? I hope and pray none of us have to experience that. God is holding us close, no matter what we're doing, no matter how we feel. God is holding us close. We spent time exploring about being no longer orphans and children of God, and I think God really wants us to take notice of this. But the concept of being no longer being left as orphans goes further than merely coming to know the Father. It's more than just knowing the Father. In some ways, it's a command, because we are made in the image of God. As 1 John 4:8 tells us, God is love. Therefore, our command is to love Jesus, to love God, and God who is love. And to love God implicitly means that no one should be left as an orphan. So that's the mission statement of Jesus, isn't it, in Luke? To go out there in the power of the Spirit. There are no longer orphans. To look after the widows and the orphans. And I believe that if we take that call seriously, that we are no longer orphans, because we know the Holy Spirit and we know the Father and the Son, and he is in us and we are in him, that we can show that love to our community, they too will no longer be spiritually orphans. But they too can come to know that unbreakable bond of love between Jesus, the Father, and ourselves. Perhaps the call on us as the church in 2023 is to recover what it means to be God's children, so that we can rediscover what it means to love God and be loved by him. Then we can take that love into the world with the Holy Spirit dwelling in each of us. These verses also serve as a reminder that when Jesus promises something, it's going to happen. Not necessarily in our timing, but it is going to happen. That promise will not be broken. When the Father tells us something will happen, it's because he knows it's going to happen. The Father knows what is good for us. Going back to thinking about when Jesus walked this earth, and would it have been easier if we were walking with him? Well, Jesus knows what was right for us. But if he was walking with us now, I imagine we'd just be like those disciples. We'd fail to see what he was referring to. We'd fail to understand that teaching once again. And perhaps 2,000 years from now, the church of 4,023 will be looking back going, well, they got it wrong as well. Just like we look back 2,000 years ago and think the disciples got it wrong. We get it wrong. But we have the Holy Spirit guiding us and supporting us. And that's where our trust comes in. For us to know the Father is trustworthy. He knows all things. He knows what's best for us. Therefore, we can trust him with all that we have. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. He promises a counselor, a comforter, an advocate. We know that that promised Spirit will descend on the disciples at Pentecost. We know that through the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, we can do the things that Jesus did and more. Why? Because Jesus tells us in the Bible that we will do greater things than he. We know that walking this earth as children of God, we will see signs and wonders which will help people, point people towards God. That it will help increase our faith as we see God act in ways only God can act. We will see healings. We will see miracles. We will see people saved. And I guess that question remains for us is, are we spending enough time with God to be able to see this happening? I said back at the start, if we were walking with Jesus, we'd see all these miracles happening. But I believe those miracles are taking place today. It's just our eyes are not open to actually see them. I've been in plenty of rooms where I've seen people healed through the power of the Holy Spirit. If you've not seen them, have we just not spent time with God? It's usually in those times when we've spent a deliberate time with God that he comes and then we see the Holy Spirit come and do his work. I wonder if perhaps in the church we've become too much about let's get through the service, we've got our order, let's make sure we follow it all and we're finished by 11:30 because we want coffee and then we want to get home and have our lunch. What if God was to show up today and tomorrow we're still here worshiping him? It could happen. What if the Holy Spirit is to fall and we each receive that deep inner healing that we need? That'd be incredible. It could happen if we deliberately give God the space to do what he can do. When I saw Hannah and Joseph being born, both very different experiences, they were miracles right there. Each time a child is born, it is a miracle. But how many people see it as a miracle? How many people see outside and we think, it's a miracle? The human body is an amazing thing. We are all miracles. We are all unique, but we are all made in the image of God. As a father, I want to give the best to my children. And I've said to Amanda on occasions, it feels so hard if Hannah's crying or Joseph's crying and there is nothing that I can do to help them. In many ways, that has really opened my eyes to help me see how God looks at each of us. He wants what is best for us. The Father knows us and we know him through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I truly believe that the Father is wanting to do good things for us here in Christchurch. As Wendy said, we're in a season of favor. I believe there is more to come. That there is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit coming for Christchurch, for each of us. And I've talked about spending time with God, and I'm going to encourage us now to spend some time with God doing just that. If you're willing and able, I'm going to encourage you to stand. Put your hands out in front of you as a sign that you're willing to receive from God. And we're going to pray for the Holy Spirit to fall. I pray that each of you will receive from the Holy Spirit what you need today. We shared some words that were said at the start of the service. Perhaps one of those struck you. if they struck you, then I pray that you would pray into them now. Is your relationship with the Father fractured? Do you need that healing there? Is it physical healing that you need? Do you need to know the love of the Father? Are you afraid of letting go and letting the Holy Spirit do what only He can do? I pray this morning that you would let go and let God. Perhaps you need to run into the arms of a Father who is waiting. Feel His embrace. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray.